On that note, hello everybody. It is so wonderful to be here with you all. I think just looking around, I can definitely say this is the best looking audience in PE at the moment. So ladies, beautiful. This is such a beautiful evening. Thank you to the team who put it together and just so lovely. I'm so excited to be here. Now there's a box of tissues underneath here. I think Natalie thinks I'm going to cry. I might, but I promise I won't ugly cry. And if anyone needs a tissue, let me know. It's right here. Okay. So let me open my book. I have the stage, so get comfortable. I think we have to start with a customary introduction of myself. So let me start there for this evening. I was born and bred here in Port Elizabeth. And I was born into the most wonderful family. My mother's here this evening, so I have to mention that. I'm obligated. Joking. I would say it whether she's here or not. I really was born into a family with the two most incredible parents, and they raised me from a very young age to know my worth as a woman and my worth as a daughter of the Most High. And I think that is what has set me up for the life that I live now. So just to encourage those with little girls or even little boys at home, let them know their worth in Christ before anything else, because that really does set you up for a life well lived. Now, I grew up under the church pews. I played around there in my childhood. That was my second home. And I'm one of the lucky ones who discovered my passion and my calling at a very, very young age, at the ripe old age of 2. I trotted onto stage, the mic was probably bigger than my head, and I sang in church for the first time. And something inside me blossomed, and I just knew, obviously not at 2, but a little bit later, that that was what I was called to do for the rest of my life, to sing, to bring glory to God through worship. And I have always used music to glorify God. In every situation, in every circumstance, if you can sing and shout his praise, you are blessed. So fast forward quite a number of years, and I'm now a music teacher at Summerwood Primary. Are there any teachers in the house? I see you, I feel you, I understand you. It's almost holidays, hang tight. It's almost. So full-time teacher, and then in my spare time, I'm a worship leader over at Doxa. I get to live out my ministry and my calling every day, and it's just incredible. I am really, I'm going to say it a few times, but I'm fairly blessed. I will say that. I am married to Zander Lewitz, who is a wonderful, wonderful man. He shares my passion for both music and Jesus. So what more could a girl ask for? And we have two beautiful fur children, Mina the German Shepherd and Choppy the Jack Russell. They are beautiful. So I can stand here this evening and say with confidence that I am incredibly blessed. There is nothing that I want for in my life because I get to follow my calling. God has been so, so good to me. However, I've come to understand that being blessed and having it easy are two very different things. One thing is certain in this life, we all have our crosses to bear. We all have our struggles to face. We all have our storms to venture through. And my storm is a physical one. At around age 15, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I've heard there's some people in the audience here today that have the same thing. Again, I feel you, I see you, I understand you. Hang with me here. So those of you that don't know what fibromyalgia is, it's a big word, it's a big diagnosis. I'm not going to give you all the medical jargon, but at its simplest, fibromyalgia, or fibro, as I tenderly call it, is a widespread chronic pain disorder, and it causes sensations that really shouldn't be painful to the human body to be painful, or to be experienced as painful in the sufferer's body. Along with that, it has lots of other symptoms which range from fatigue to headaches and migraines and the sort of fog that makes life a little bit difficult sometimes when you're trying to think clearly. Now, the worst of this is the pain. And it's a pain that doesn't have an end, doesn't have a start, it's just there. I can't pinpoint the day that the pain started. I don't remember if it was gradual or if it, you know, just was instant, but I can't remember a time when I wasn't in pain. And you see, I'm starting already. Please stop me. Ugh. I don't think that I really understood my diagnosis when I was 15. I mean, what does a 15-year-old really know about life? Not much. Tell the 15-year-olds that, they'll argue with you. But looking back now, I know that I didn't fully understand it. I didn't understand that it would be a lifelong sentence. I didn't understand that it would steal my joy, that it would isolate me, that it would make me a prisoner in my body. But despite the weight of sickness, I had worship. I had Jesus. And despite what doctors said, I've always known who my God is. So I turned to the Bible, because the Bible is full of His promises. And I'm going to read a little something to you from Matthew 9. This is from verse 20 to 22. Then suddenly a woman came up behind Him and touched the fringe of His cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch His cloak, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, He said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And so I blazed forth. Like the woman who reached out in faith to touch His cloak, so I had the faith that my God would heal me, because that's who He is. He's my Father. He cares about me. He cares about what I feel. And I worshipped, and I prayed, and I stood strong in those promises for my life. Because He promised me a life of joy, and joy in abundance. So I knew that I knew that I knew that my healing was coming. So every chance I got, you know, they do the call outs and on a Sunday at an event like this, I was there. This was me, like this. Ready in faith to receive that which was mine. And every time that I went up, nothing. And so it went on, and the years passed, and with every year that passed, the storm grew a little bit heavier. The flame that once lit up a room seemed to dim within me. And that Savior that was once close enough to touch His cloak felt very far away. Notice that I say felt far away. He wasn't, spoiler alert. But I started to believe, and I think we do this as women, we measure ourselves, our worth, according to, you know, how much we have sometimes, what we look like, what we can do, what we can't do. So I began to feel or believe that maybe it was me. Maybe I was the problem. You know what? That extra slice of cake that I stole and I ate and I didn't tell anyone, maybe it's that. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to pray harder. Maybe I need to pray differently. Maybe I need to worship right. Maybe there's something that I can fix within myself and then my healing will come. I didn't believe that I deserved it enough. And that's where a lot of women sit a lot of the time. I don't deserve it, and that's why I'm not getting what I want. And so it went on, and the devil just continued to trap me in that lie. The lie that I wasn't good enough. The lie that my healing wasn't coming because of me. And I began to question, why? Why me, God? What did I do to deserve this? My life was what a good Christian life should look like. I did everything by the book. I did everything right. If there is such a thing as doing everything right, we're all human, we all make mistakes, but I did everything in my power to do things right. And still, nothing. Nothing changed. The pain was still there, day after day after day. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed and I cried. Why have you forgotten me, God? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I deserve to be left behind while everybody else thrives? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this life that you have given me. And the storm seemed to just rage on around me. And there was a point that I feared that it would consume me. And that light that I knew existed in me was going to fail. See, here we go. Sorry, I'm going to grab one of these if you don't mind. You see, you knew this well. Sorry, give me a second. So, with tissue in hand, let's get to the turning point, shall we? 2015. Feels like a lifetime ago now. What are we, 2019? Crazy. I was about to get married to the Prince Charming. Unzel's got a tissue. Go, Unzel. Yes. I was about to get married to the Prince Charming that I spoke about earlier. And he knew about my disease. He knew what I had. And he's always been incredible. Incredible at handling it with me and carrying me through it. But before the wedding, my prayer was, Lord, I don't want to be a burden to Zander. I don't want him to have to carry me through life. I don't want him to feel like he has to step up when I am weak. Although he does it with such grace and he does it so well. And I'm so thankful that I have him. But I really didn't want this disorder and the pain to put a damper on a marriage that I knew was sanctioned and blessed by Jesus. So I prayed again. And that little voice inside me still said, oh, nothing's going to happen. You're not good enough. Look at that mistake. You don't deserve your healing. Deal with it. Which is really awful now that I think about it. So it was May, which was about a month before our wedding. And I was at a worship leaders conference. And Bill Ingalls, he was involved with Rhema Church back in the day when they started. I believe it was many years ago. I was not born. But Bill Ingalls was speaking. And suddenly there was a call out for healing. And honestly, I sat there and I went, ugh, Lord, really? Are you not serious? No, I'm not going. If you want to heal me, you can heal me in this chair. I'm not going. He's my dad. He knows I can be a bit cheeky sometimes. I did apologize afterwards. Now, and I stood firm. I wasn't going. And I sat and I sort of turned a little bit to my left and there sat Nahal, my pastor over at Arturo. His wife is here, so hello, Anzel. Shout out. But I caught his eye. And Nahal looked at me and he smiled. And he said, kom, jy gaan, staan op, jy gaan. And you know that it's a sin to say no to your pastor. So I got up. And I sort of trudged down the stairs. Because deep down I was afraid. That fear of the disappointment that comes when you don't get what you ask for. I know that you know the feeling. That disappointment, time and time again. I was afraid. I was afraid of getting down there and nothing happening again. But anyway, I went. And they prayed for me. They prophesied over me. I fell under the Spirit. And when I stood up, now you're expecting me to tell you that I was healed and everything's fine. And yay, hallelujah. No, sorry guys, spoiler. Not that. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I was healed that day because I was not. I will say before then I had dealt with so many migraines, pretty much a migraine a week, and I haven't had that, so praise the Lord for that healing. I will take it. But when I stood up, the pain was still there. But I was not the same person. Up until then, I thought that I needed healing to go further in life. I thought that I needed a solution to my problem. I thought that I needed my storm to end. But God, in his infinite wisdom, gave me something much, much better. You see, life is full of storms. Big ones, little ones, ones that rage for years and ones that are over in a month. And your reward for overcoming a challenge is very often just your next challenge. So sometimes getting what you want exactly when you ask for it is not a good thing. Because having to wait for it, having to trust for it, having to have faith for it builds character. So that no matter what you face, no matter where life takes you, you will be able to handle it. And that is what my God gave me that day. You see, things are hard, not because God is cruel, not because you are being punished. I feel like there's somebody that needs to know that this evening. You are not being punished. This is not a punishment. Your storm is not a punishment. God does not want you to suffer. But we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is filled with sickness and heartache and questions. John 16:33, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrow. The Bible speaks the truth. There it's promised to you. Trials and sorrow. Can we just cut that? Can we cross it out? Can we, you know, tip X over it maybe? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. He who lives within you is stronger and mightier than anything that this world can throw at you. So though it is there, you can't escape it. Your God is still stronger. There are things on earth that we will never understand. There are questions that we cannot answer. There are questions that I ask still that I don't get an answer for. The Bible does not promise us that we will have it easy. You get people that take little scriptures and sort of say, look, you know, Bible says everything's going to be fine. Yes, with your soul. But on this earth, you are going to face trials and tribulations. Look at the disciples. None of them had a happy ending if you really read your Bible. They lived incredible lives, but they faced trials and they faced tribulations. But the Bible does promise us one thing, and that's peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace right where you are. Not at the end of it. Not when it's over. Not when you've overcome it. Peace in it. And that is a victory in itself. The beginning of John 16:33 that I just read says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. And that was the turning point for me, realizing that I didn't need my storm to end. It wasn't about the storm ending. It was about my perspective in the storm. It was about keeping my eyes on Jesus. Because when the devil comes with his lies on your shoulder and turns your head to make you believe that you are not good enough or you deserve this or God's not listening to you, you keep your eyes on Jesus. And he'll remind you who he is. So I'm here tonight with a testimony that's very different from that which you may have heard before. I used to sit at many of these things and almost, I'll confess, feel jealous when people would testify to healing or things like that. Because I'd be sitting there going, hello, me, I'm next, please, thank you. And it just never happened for me. So sometimes it was more discouraging to hear a testimony of victory, even though, you know, I should have rejoiced with them. I'm sorry for that. I repent. But I have not yet received my healing. I haven't. I stand here today in as much pain as I was 4 years back. I stand here today with the same things troubling me as the time when I questioned why and I went about my day thinking I wasn't good enough. But my victory is not in my physical healing. My victory is not just, and I believe my healing is coming. Don't get me wrong. I trust for it. I know it's going to come. Amen. Can I please amen for me? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it. But my victory is that in spite of the pain, in spite of the storm, in spite of the fact that there are days when I can't get out of bed, I have joy. I have life. I have a heart for other people. I have a heart to serve others, even though I am struggling. And above all things, I have peace. Peace in the knowledge that my God is who he says he is. And he has never let me down. and he will never let me down. So my storm has taught me that I need to keep my eyes on the cross, to keep my eyes on Jesus, and to position myself in God's peace for me, even when it doesn't make sense. And it often doesn't make sense. So do I live in victory every day? No. I'm human. There are days when it's hard. There are days that I struggle. There are days that I falter, and some days that I fail. But God has never failed me. I look back on my years going through the struggle, and something that always keeps me going is, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. I've been saying it for a while now. But when I look back and I look at the times when I thought that I cannot survive this, I did. Not because I was strong enough, but because he who lives within me was strong enough. And sometimes it just takes the knowledge of that to put you at peace. So, you know, some days it's difficult, some days it's easy. But on every single day, especially the hard days, I speak God's word over my life. I dive into that Bible. I don't have my actual Bible yet, but I've got a cell phone. It's just as good nowadays, is it not? I dive into the word. Because the word is where I find my truth. You see, the world tells you lies about who you are and what you should be. But the word tells you truth. And on the days that you are struggling, that's where you need to be. Take that 5 minutes extra. Your work can wait. Any employers? Sorry, guys. Your work can wait. Get your truth from the source. While I was preparing for this evening, there were a few things that came up, and then there was something that came up just before while I was showering, getting ready to come here. Because God sometimes leaves things to the last minute, but he is never late. And I just think that there's someone here that needs to know this evening that Jesus understands. And when I don't understand, and when I am angry or upset at what I have to go through, what really helps sometimes is to be reminded that Jesus understands. Not as a figment up there in the air fairy. He lived every human emotion and human feeling that you can live. The pain that I feel, he felt. The sorrow that you feel, he felt. The grief, the loss, the anger, the betrayal, he has felt it. And because he has felt it, that is the best place that you can go to receive wisdom and peace. Because we often look at God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus as some, you know, something in the sky, looking down going, I shame. But they are not far. They are as real as the flesh and the bones on your body and closer still. And on the days when I really can't pull myself out of the hole, that is what I speak over myself. Jesus understands. And he is the greatest comforter. And for me, it had to happen in a moment. I had to have that meeting and that understanding to understand that he is close. He knows. And so my prayer is that each of you that are going through a storm will feel that. Because once you know it once, it's one of those things, it's not taught, it's caught. Anzel, quoting Anzel, actually. It's not taught, it's caught. So I know that my healing is coming. I know that it is. But not in my time, in his time. And though I don't understand why he's making me wait, Lord, okay, I know that there is something blossoming out of the pain. It's not all bad. I get to be here this evening and tell you guys all about how good Jesus is. And if that's why I have to be in pain, then so be it. That's okay. So I don't know when my healing is coming. Might be tomorrow. Might be next week. Might be in 10 years from now. Or it might be the day that I finally go home to heaven and sit at my Father's feet and ask him why. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I can stand here today and say fully with conviction that it doesn't matter whether I am physically healed or not. Doesn't matter. Because I have peace. I know who my God is. And the physical has no impact on that. His peace is my portion. And that is enough. While I was preparing for this evening and over the past month or two, most of the conversations that we've had brought me back to the disciples that were on the boat and they were caught in the storm where Peter walks on water, that one. So I'm going to read it to you quickly from Matthew 14, verse 23 to 31. And after Jesus had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Distance. Buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. When the disciples saw him, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the water and the waves below him, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Now, how often do we not feel like those disciples on that boat? Far from Jesus. You can't see him in the distance just yet. And how often are we like Peter, who got out the boat in faith, believed, walked, but got distracted by the waves and the wind? And his understanding and his logic told him, "You can't do this. Jesus is not enough to keep you afloat." And he started to sink. But the most beautiful part of that is Jesus didn't let him sink. He reached out and he grabbed him and he pulled him back up. And there have been many times in my life, before my moment, after my moment, that I feel like I'm sinking. Times when the pain is just too much to bear and nobody understands, except mommy. But people don't understand. And there have been many times in my life where I've been left on the ground, on my knees, crying out, "Jesus, why have you forgotten about me? Why have you left me behind? Why am I sinking?" And I can tell you that in every one of those moments, he reached out and he pulled me back up. This happens when we're trying to fight those battles with our own strength. And I've done that for a long time. Some days I still try and do it, and I fail miserably, and then I, you know, go back to where my strength is. And even when we see Jesus approaching, even when we see him on the water, even when we see the miracle, even when we experience it, we're still distracted by what's going on around us. And as Peter took his eyes off Jesus, we do the same. And that's when we sink. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you are sinking. Maybe you've already sunk. Maybe you feel like you are so low down in that water that nothing can save you now. Tonight I stand here and tell you that it's never too late. It's never too late. When we have our eyes on the storm, it's difficult to see Jesus. When we're looking at the wind and the waves and, you know, the things going on around us, it's difficult. It's difficult to see the good or to see Jesus in it or to see God's hand in it. But that's why we have to change our perspective. That's why we have to choose to put our eyes back on Jesus. And that's not always easy because I'm relatively an A-type personality. I like to control things. Shame. My poor husband. I like to be in control, always, on everything. Everything that I do must be just so. And this storm has taught me that I cannot control everything. I cannot control. I need to trust. And when you trust, you let go. And that letting go, that is peace. So don't look to the waves. Look to him. He's never far. Even though it feels that way, I've felt that way many times. He's never far. He might just be off to the side, trying to let you stumble until you realize that you need him. Now, I don't know what your storm is. I know that you have one. Nobody is excluded from the storms. Your storm might be something more of a waiting. Maybe you are waiting for something that you know has been promised to you that just isn't happening yet, and you're okay. You're sort of just bopping there. You're in the boat. You're okay. But you're waiting. There's peace in the waiting as well. There's peace in that process. So don't think that you don't need the peace just because it's not a storm like somebody else is going through. Take the peace. Take it. Maybe your storm is like mine. It's a physical one. It's one that has taken control of your body, that has made you a slave to the pain or to the sickness, to the disease, to the thing that they've told you will never get better. Maybe that's you. And I can definitely stand here and tell you that there is peace in the pain. Doesn't make the pain better, but it helps you manage that pain, helps you stand up despite that pain. Or maybe your storm is something deeper. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's grief. Grief that is just not ending. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's a child that's on the wrong path. And you have prayed and kicked and screamed, and they're just not turning back to God. That's a storm too. And standing here tonight, knowing that there are many storms raging in this room, I want to encourage you to take your eyes off of the wind, take your eyes off of the waves, and put them back on Jesus. I can't promise you that your healing or your breakthrough or your prayers will be answered right now. I can't promise you that it will come when you want it to, but I can promise you peace in that storm. God has never let me down, and he will never let you down. I can promise you a peace that is beyond understanding. The logical mind, human beings are incredible creatures. We have such a logical mind sometimes, and we want to understand everything. We want to understand why. We want to understand where, when, how. And sometimes things don't make sense, and that's hard for us. But God's peace transcends that. It transcends our understanding. There is no logical reason for me to smile every day. I'm in agony. There is no logical reason why I can bless other people because I am in pain. And yet, that is what I choose to do. Because he who lives within me allows me to do it. Reason would tell you that I should be a really grumpy human being who is nasty, like the Grinch. I hope that no one would describe me that way. Maybe it's good that not everyone who knows me is here. But I choose not to be that person. Some days it's hard because when you're in pain and someone's irritating, you want to snap at them. But there's a peace that transcends that logical reason that lives within me. So I'm able to deal with little John in grade one who for the 17th time today has asked a ridiculous question. And I answer it with grace. That's just God. I can't take credit for that. I'm not such a wonderful human being that I can do it on my own. I can't. Jesus within me is the one who does that. I want to read to you a verse that has been very, very powerful in my own life, one that I bring up all of the time when things are difficult. You should know it. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And that is my prayer for you this evening. Wherever you are, in the boat, walking on the water, sinking in the water, holding the hand of Jesus, that is my prayer. That in the toughest situations, when you don't think that you will survive it, the peace that surpasses all understanding will just live within you. And that Jesus will just come and remind you, not only of who you are, but of who he is.